Today, we'd like to see the title of As Many You Shall Find in Matthew 22, verses 1 to 46. To another was sold through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth. We'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 12, so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. What does it mean in the context? And now, can you apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of death, but of the living. What does it mean in the context? And what can we learn from here? The last question in verse 43, he said to them, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, what does it mean in the context and what can you learn from here? In the last time in Matthew 21, 42, 45, 46, 42, now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. The chief priests and Pharisees understood the parables trying to take Jesus, but they feared the people who considered Jesus as a prophet. Now, verses 1 to 6, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle I killed, and all things are ready, come to the wedding. But they made light of it, went their ways, one of his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Jesus gave a wedding parable to reveal truths with an example for the kingdom of heaven. The first invited ones had no willing mind to come. They were invited again with the explanation of the full ready dinner, such as oxen, cattle, and all other things by the king's servants. But some invited seized the servants and treated them harshly and killed them. Here, the invitees were the Jews. The promise of Messiah was given to them, but they rejected the Messiah. Jesus previously talked about the rejected stone by the builder to have become the chief cornerstone. 21:42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scripture the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. Then verse 7, but when the king heard about the act, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. So furious king destroyed those murderers and burned up the city. How the city of Jerusalem destroyed and burnt is told by Jesus. Later in another prophecy too, In 70 AD, Titus and his soldiers destroyed Jerusalem under Vespasian, the ninth Roman emperor, Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. So you may read them. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." The invited were not worthy because they did not accept, but rejected from beginning. God doesn't violate the human free will. Now, during the grace time, the key is willing mind for doing prayer, ministry, or offering to God. Two times invitation is enough. More than two times would be a pressure or a pause. Anything without willing mind is not accepted by God. So the Jew invited were not worthy. 9 to 11, "Therefore go into the highways and as many as you find invited to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both head and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came into the sea, the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So the king's servant invited anyone everywhere, as many as you find, to the wedding, non-Jews. That is, the Gentiles are invited to kingdom of heaven. Anyone is invited to enter kingdom of heaven. So, bad and good invitees in the sight of humans were full in the wedding, but a man did not wear a wedding garment. Verse 12. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. The wedding garment pictures the righteousness to enter kingdom of heaven. Fine linen is the righteous acts of saints or believers, but human righteousness are like a filthy rags. So the righteousness from God only by faith in Christ is needed to enter God's kingdom. No one comes to enter kingdom of heaven except the acceptance of Christ or the faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then in the gospel, the righteousness is continually revealed from face to face. Someone continues in their deeds of unrighteousness, although they go to church at least once per week or Sunday. But it hasn't really had any effect in the transforming of their lives. They don't have the wedding garments because the just lives by faith continually. So that all cross reference right here. Verse 13, 14. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Whoever is not righteous or has no faith, either the Gentiles here or the Jews, he is cast into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are invited, but few are accepted, because few believe in the gospel and live by faith. Many are called by God, but few are chosen by God upon your acceptance of Christ in heart, because God works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So your acceptance, God works. If you don't, not work. Verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, his talk. The Pharisees, the legalists of Pentateuch, often conflict with the Herodians, the political party, to support the Herod, the king, and Rome. But they were united here to plot to put Jesus to death. Verse 16 up to 22. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius, Roman denarius. He said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The Pharisee disciples asked the question to Jesus, "Who is true and teaches the way of God truly, regardless of human appearance? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" The question was an argumentative question, not an honest question. To get an answer, but an argumentation. Omniscient Jesus knew their wicked heart, but asked them to show Jesus the tax money, a Roman denarius, who was a laborer's daily wage. And Tiberius Caesar's image inscribed on the coin indicates the coin is Caesar's. So Caesar's is to Caesar, God's is to God. This sense avoided the plot to put Jesus to death, because the yes would upset Israelites and the no would upset Rome. Either answer at the risk of his life. They were marveled, leaving away. 23:28. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him, asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now they were without seven brothers. The first died after they had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Sadducees were materialists, not believing resurrection. They asked the hypothetical question of whose wife upon resurrection, when she had married a consequent husband, seven brothers in descendant order, without offspring, and she finally died, according to Mosaic law. In Old Testament time, it practiced so, because widows had like no other way to support themselves without this practice. For example, El Judah's firstborn married Tamar. Upon El's death, Onan, El's younger brother, was told to marry Tamar by Judah. But a successive marriage, rightful man may sell his rights to other close relatives, like Boaz, the buyer's marriage with Ruth, the widow of Mahlon. That kind of practice too. 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God." Jesus answered that they were mistaken because they didn't know the scriptures nor the power of God. The resurrection is the power of God who raised up into a new body eternally, which is from heaven, from the dead body, made with hands. stated in the scriptures right there. 30:31, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, in the resurrection there is no marriage among resurrected saints, believers, like angels in heaven. Resurrected saints are alive, not dead. Saints or believers are alive forever in spirit and soul with heavenly body, even if physical bodies are dead. 32, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of death, but of the living. God told to Moses, even at Jesus' time, even today, God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are alive. Whoever lives physically on earth and believes in Jesus Christ shall never die, have everlasting life. So in heaven, all glorious relationship of all saints, believers, family in heaven will be so superior to anything we could ever experience on earth. All cross-reference right there. Then the audience were impressed by his teaching. 34 up to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. The Pharisees and Sadducees continually plotted to trap Jesus to death. One lawyer asked, which is the great commandment in the law? The Pharisees classified the Pentateuch with over 600 laws to the more important than the less important. Jesus answered, the Lord our God is one God, or a triunity God. Your love for God must be supreme in a vertical relationship, and then your love for your neighbor in a horizontal relationship. If you love God mostly, you will obey His word faithfully. The first commandment to love God supremely, and the second commandment to love your neighbor yourself. Sum up all the laws and prophets in the scriptures. 41:42. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. Jesus asked the Pharisees, whose son is the Christ or Messiah? God told the eternal kingdom to David through Nathan. God told through Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord resting upon a rod from the stem of Jesse, David's father. So the Christ or Messiah is David's descendant, as they answered, the son of David, right here. Then 43 after 46. He said to them, how then does David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from the day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Then Jesus asked again them, why David in the spirit called his son as the Lord in Psalm 110? They were not able to answer it, because they did not believe Jesus Christ or Messiah. The Lord said to my Lord, the Christ, through David's bloodline. Now God makes the Christ at God's right hand until God makes the Christ the enemies, Christ the footstool, until Jesus returns to earth and establishing the millennial kingdom. That is a cross-reference right there. We covered all the questions you make continually. This is a big issue. Cannot lie to achieve success for the glory of God. So I, you know, went to certain retreat. So certain the outside in a big church, the inner school happening, you know, a lot of, you know, fraud involved there. So very few people knew that. So that is obviously God's will, you know, to judge, you know, those kind of matters. So very important here is obviously not. Typical visiting place is right here, the first disciple preaching place on Mars Hill in Athens in Greece, you know, particular disciple said, God doesn't need, you know, any human, you know, made thing, you know, money. God already provided everything. So that is a basic thing. God wants to know your heart, you know, to love through your portion of expense to God, you know, is indicating how much love of God, you know, for God and that kind of thing. The Lord continue work through His church. So the Calvary Church and I'm here, the Lord's church, you know, all in all, you know, without, you know, any human touchings,